Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Excited to have Mr. Luke Eldridge, Vice Mayor for the City of Cookeville, also Executive Director for Title I Services, and that's with Career Team. So when we say Title I, it has nothing to do with education.
No.
Has nothing to do with titles at the Register Deeds Office.
No. Has all to do with workforce.
Good morning, Luke. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How's everything going? Good?
Things going really good.
Good.
You know, it's first of the fiscal year for, obviously, city and for my what I do on my job. So a lot of we've talked our budget stuff through with city. That's good out of the way. And
yeah.
So we're working through that through my current job right now and working that out.
Let's talk about your current position in your professional career. We're going to get into city stuff.
Sure.
I had Mayor Wheaton on a few weeks ago, but it's always good to hear from you and as about my vice mayor and as one of the five council at the city of Cookeville. But let's talk about your career first. You're the executive director of Title I Services, which is under his Career Teams. Is that
so? So Career Team is who I work for. Title I Service, it's basically under the American Job Center. So under a board that's called Workforce Connection. That's if you know Miss Becky Hall and mm-hmm. Jeremiah Miller and some others. They're on that board, and then so money comes down federal, state to local board. Mayor Porter is our CLEO, and so I'm one of the five services there. We're Title I under what's called WIOA or WIOA, Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. It's a spider web of multiple things, and so our services are helping individuals wanting to get back into the workforce, or they're wanting to go to school, maybe a TCAT or learn a trade. We do help with college as well when it comes to a four-year college, but we can't help with individuals with certain services until their junior, senior year because it's just how it's set up, and they want to make sure I think they're going to be committed to it. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we help – we can help with tuition. We can help with what's called supportive services up to certain amounts, and that's helping individuals who are struggling, individuals who hit certain criteria. Right now the state has about four or five areas they're wanting us to focus on, and it's basically trades. Medical field, it's transportation, it's getting back HVAC, it's construction, IT, stuff like that, that really they're lacking where they're needing workforce. There's other areas we used to help with, but we're not, we just don't because it's oversaturated. We used to help a lot with cosmetology, but it's oversaturated field. There's a lot out there, and we're just not going to be focusing on that as much. So we're trying to get people back into the workforce with a work first model, help them find jobs. And there's four other categories or four other titles within the American Job Center. And we cover the whole Upper Cumberland. There's you have your Title III service, which is out of the state. And those are just individuals helping them with resumes, helping them find jobs. Then you have Voc Rehab, you have a veteran side service, and you have we have a program that helps elderly, 55 and older, trying to get back into the workforce where we can actually hire them to work with a nonprofit or a governmental entity up to 4 years. And we can pay their wages for about 20 to 25 hours a week just to have that. They want to get them back into the workforce. So we do that as well. Of course, I think everybody thinks the American Job Center, you go there to do your unemployment claim.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that.
Right.
That's a portion of it, but a lot of it is if you want to get back into the workforce and you're looking for a job, the American Job Center in Cookeville, that office is at 620 South Jefferson Avenue, Suite 202. It's behind what Game Exchange is, across from kind of Arby's and right beside Electronic Express,
yeah.
Around the back.
Yeah.
You got to go up the hill around the back. There's a storage unit place back there too. And that's where we're at in Cookeville. We moved there about a year ago. So that's kind of what we do in there.
Okay. So, and that's a lot, but it's great because it's good information. You cover the whole Upper Cumberland.
Right.
How many people are on your team to do
that? So with me through Title I, I have 10.
Okay.
And so we have eight offices within the Upper Cumberland that cover all the counties. We actually, this year, we're going to be able to start going into the counties and going into the schools a little more. Actually going and finding the individuals. So a lot of times we wait on individuals come to us. But we're sitting in an office waiting on somebody to come to us. And some people just don't know where we are. Some people don't even have an idea what we do, and it's been around forever. But what we do now is we're going to go to the schools. We're going to go find the individuals that are looking for the jobs, and we're going to try to help them get into the job. We're going to help them get back into school, talk to the schools about what we offer, and see who qualifies through school. A lot of times kids qualify when it comes to being in foster care, maybe families on food stamps, maybe they have an IEP in school. You know, there's a lot of factors like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a kid who may have never thought about going to school, and we can show them what we can offer them. We do work experience as well, put people in a work experience with a company who's looking to hire, and they get to kind of try them out, kind of like a staffing agency, but we just don't charge overhead.
Right.
We put them in there, take on liability. As much funding as we have, we can do that. So
I think it's amazing that the resources that you are providing for people starting in high school, and those that maybe didn't finish, or those that are trying to figure out what they want to do. You and I, of course, we've known each other for a while now.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for our friendship and professional relationship. And I look to you for questions like this because I may not know. Since COVID, you know, when COVID happened, I hate to bring it up, but I'm getting to a point here. When COVID happened, we saw a reduction in jobs, right?
Yeah.
And we saw people working at home, and then people, you know, not having a job. And then a year later, those people have a job opportunity, but they stay at home because they getting a check or whatever it
yeah.
is. So we're now 4 years since COVID started. Have you seen more people get back in the workforce, you know, than it was 2 years ago? Have you seen, because at one time I remember Mayor Porter and you and I and Mayor Wheaton and Mayor Shelton when he was in, and the council and the commission talking about, you know, used to we were trying to provide jobs.
Yeah.
Then we got 2 years ago, we didn't have the people, right?
Yeah.
Have you
yeah.
seen a change or a shift for the better in that yeah. Situation?
Yeah, I've seen a change for the better. I don't think we have as many job openings across the Upper Cumberland as what we used to. And I think one of the things we now see, and it was brought up in a meeting I was at earlier this week, one of the things we see now is we're having just people not knowing how to do the job, you know, the training they mm-hmm. need, or work ethic.
Right.
We are seeing work ethic, even with what we do and trying to help. A good point is we had an individual we were trying to help, a young kid coming out of high school, didn't even know how to turn the computer off, you know, at the work site they were at. I've got kids that are, when you ask them, well, you have to do paperwork, so what's your social? And they're saying 38501. What county do you live in, USA? And, you know, that can be, no, but we're at no county. And,
right.
you know, so we're seeing soft skills. We're seeing just not a knowledge that should be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, sometimes it's the parents.
Sure.
It's not the school.
Right.
Schools are there to educate. Parents are there to help their child, train up their child.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is a work ethic. Like, they don't have to come this generation. If they don't want to go to work, they don't show up.
Right.
And then they go find them another job because the jobs are there. Or another one that we had, and because the company called me and said, you know, she was wearing the way she was dressed wasn't inappropriate. It was just the way she was dressed. Like, hey, you shouldn't come to work that way. You're just seeing new things. I hired a young kid, and you know, he dresses really good, but you know, just the way he dresses, sometimes I'm like, hey man, you can't wear that to work. It's totally different mindset,
right,
what we have now. And I think we're seeing a work ethic, and we're seeing soft skills that we're having to really focus on. But if somebody doesn't like the job, they quit because the job's there and they go get them another job. I mean, if they don't like it, they just don't show up.
And that's what I was going to say. I have talked to not only elected officials, but just friends that own businesses, or especially construction companies that are still like looking for laborers, right?
Yep.
Or somebody, and elected officials that are obviously looking for like deputy clerks or something. They'll hire somebody, and then, you know, they'll work a day or a week, and then they just won't show up one day, and they never get a phone call.
Yep.
Never get a letter, email, phone call, text, fax, whatever. And they just don't show up. You never hear from them again. And I thought, my word, my mom and dad would, even now being 71 years old, would discipline me.
That's the problem. We don't get beatings anymore.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I never got abused, but I got disciplined, and I got the belt, and I got, you know, but they would be so disappointed in my behavior of not letting somebody know, hey, this is not for me. This is not my career path. Thank you for the opportunity. I won't be back.
Yeah.
And that really, that's all it is, right? Just some communication.
Communication.
And we've lost the art of communication.
We have. We've lost that. People don't know how to communicate anymore. But you even see that even in us that are working in our careers, there's still the biggest thing everybody always complains about is communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we still miss communication. You know, we work with certain grants with the state, or we work with certain – it's always a communication thing. And there's a lot of people involved in a lot of things. So we're working on a grant right now, and it's coming to an end. But there was just some communication issues, and that's why it just didn't do what it should have done. And we learned. I learned. State learned. We're going to make it better next year. And that's just getting youth into the workforce. And it's, you know, it's always communication. But – you do see that, you know, typically you give a 2-week notice. I don't even think people do that anymore. They just give no go to lunch and not come back.
Yeah. And you can probably wrap your mind around it a little bit better because you're in it every day. I cannot wrap my mind around it. I told my nephew the other day, he's 15, and I was talking to him about, you know, a little bit about life, and, you know, he's growing up, and I said, hey, always communicate.
Yeah.
Like, always be respectful of somebody that's gave you an opportunity. If you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to like something.
Right.
Just communicate. And you know, I know that generation is a good generation. The phone has taken over the way of communicating, I guess you could say. And so we, you know, I see some.
Yeah, they don't, you know, they don't. Answering the phone is foreign to them.
Yeah.
You know, we're working with some young kids, and we're trying to, you have to email. They don't check that. They'll give you a different email than the one they probably should, and it's amazing just trying to communicate with this generation. They like text.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they won't answer that text. They just read it, and they don't give you anything. Well, yeah. Did you get that text? Yeah.
Yeah.
I need you to respond back.
Respond. At least give me a K or okay, right?
Thumbs up, just something.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I got Luke Eldridge with me. He is vice mayor for the city of Coolville, but right now we're talking about his career. He's executive director at Title I Services with Career Team. Talking everything with his career, job placement, helping people out. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters, Mr. Luke Eldridge. I'm excited to have you in, Luke. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Is vice mayor of the city of Coolville, executive director for Title I Services. And we talked about your position and what you're doing with helping people get back into the workforce and have a career and find a career. Give me some, you know, Luke, what are some success stories that you've had? I mean, we went in great detail last segment, and I want to talk more as much as you want to, but give me some success stories.
Yeah, you know, some that come to mind. So, again, we're in the whole Upper Cumberland. We're working with a group out, a company out in Macon County to where it's reentry. You know, I think that's where we need to really look at giving somebody a second chance. And I think I mentioned it last time I was on here, but a portion of my employees come out of a second, you know, they come out of a history of some sort, felony or whatever. And probably three of my best employees, hard workers, they went through, they did what they were supposed to do. And so that's a success in its own, just to show. I'd love to bring individuals like that to give them and train them up. But it all depends on where they come from, what they did. But all three of them are fantastic. And so we tried this program in Macon County with a company up there. Two individuals are still in jail. So they're in jail in Macon County. They're going to this business every day. The sheriff's department's taking them to work. They scan them. They do everything they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back to jail. And we pay them a certain wage as a work experience. And then when they're done with this work experience, it's wrapping up pretty quick. The company more than likely has said they're going to hire them. And that's the goal because they love them. Number one, they're showing up on work all the time.
Right.
Because somebody's bringing them. Plus, they're passing drug tests.
Right.
And you can't do that with everybody in jail. But they've picked these two. And what it's trying to do is help them pay off some of the stuff some of the court costs they have, but also save up some money when they do get out. They got a nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
I think the company has told us, you know, we pay a certain amount on these work experiences, but they're going to make $4 to $5 more when we're done because I can't go that high.
Right.
They're going to make $4 to $5 more on the hour is my understanding. And that was the discussion we had months ago. So they're doing that, and I don't know how much longer they have in jail. That's not what we're concerned about. We're just trying to get them workers. And so they love them. They're going back and forth. Haven't missed a beat. Haven't failed anything. Doing really well. And so that's a great success story out of just that type of type of arena. Another one, you know, we've had some young people we put through a work experience through the summer, and some of the businesses are bringing them on in different counties. And we've had some that just didn't work, and then the business lets us know, hey, here's the problem. Again, it's showing up. It's they're on their phone. Yeah. It's, you know, they have a – they always – they're on their phone. Mm-hmm. They just don't call in. They just don't show. And so we have that, and that's just typical. They're teenagers, and, again, what we talked about in the first segment there. But we had another one that was working for us at our American Job Center helping us out, and she put a resume in for a local company here. And what was really cool is that, and this goes into tying into something that we're doing something in another county too with reentry. And I think reentry is where we really need to focus anyway. But this individual, she's working for us. She was going through a program. She applied somewhere. I get a call from the business and saying, hey, you know, What do you know about her? I gave him the honest truth, man. She shows up. She does what I ask. Boom, boom, boom. I've never had an issue out of her. Well, he hires her. And then a local judge went into his office and saw her and remembers her from jail,
mm-hmm.
remembers court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he calls the judge calls me and says, hey, I just blah, 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 blah. I saw so-and-so, and it's just so cool to see them.
Yeah.
And I said, well, here's what we're trying to do. So I spoke to some of the judges about this program and how we're wanting to do things and start working. We're like, bring your reentry people. If they come to court, bring them to us. If they say they can't find a job, and let's just help them try it. And so they're working. They're going to try to work on that. And another interesting fact, the girl that run kind of oversees or works the whole justice side of what we do, she got to meet and talk with another judge who she was before. But she's my employee now, and he was just so cool. So I think they're excited, and this is in Putnam County, so they're excited about some of this. And we got some groundwork we got to lay, trying to, you know, I want to get into the jails and work. And I know Sheriff Ferris is looking at a work program. Yeah. Saw it in the newspaper. And I've talked to him prior to all that, too, to encourage him. Like, hey, what can we do? And I've talked to the judges. Because to be able to go after more funding, which we always need, there's not enough funding of what we do to help the people that need the help.
Sure.
And we run into that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But to go after, we got to show that it'll work. And I think what better place than the new, Eddie has put over there, Sheriff Ferris has designed over there and what he's looking to do. There'll be some groundwork we got to do. There'll be some ups and downs. There'll be some defeats, and then there'll be some successes. But I think we got to start and just roll that down the hill and see what it does.
Yeah, and so there's so many good opportunities in what you're doing, but you mentioned the funding side. How much of your time, Luke, is spent as executive director chasing funds or trying to obtain funds to continue these programs?
Well, good news is we have a board, and it has an executive director, and they get to – that's what they do. They go look for – they're always looking for new grants and
good.
Trying to get more funding and looking for this and that and what can we do and – you know, I think there's just such a big need out there, and there's only so much funding that can go around. The state can only provide so much. Federal government can only provide so much. But, you know, we're very limited, and I think sometimes one of the issues is I think the federal government or the state really needs to relook at how they reallocate funds. Nashville, seems like your bigger cities always get all the funding, and I know there's more people there, and there's a formula they look at, but in the Upper Cumberland alone, we, 8 of the 14 counties, they hit, I've got it on my phone here, forgive me.
Oh, you're good. Stats are always good for
they are.
Explaining and selling what you're doing. And you don't really need to sell what you're doing because you're putting people back into work. But the whole premise of we went from having all these jobs and job openings to now we're filling them with people because of things like this.
Yeah. So in the Upper Cumberland, 10 of our 14 counties are in the top 50 of having the lowest wages. 10 of our 14 in the top 50 in the state. 8 of our 14 are the highest unemployment rates across the state. Now these were, I found these online, you know, this was something the state of Tennessee put out, or not state of Tennessee, but it was about Tennessee on news articles. And that's in the Upper Cumberland. Out of the 14, I mean, that's a big chunk. You don't see that in other areas. I just counted out of the top 50, how many are from the Upper Cumberland? 8 in one and 10 in the other. And we need more funding to be able to do certain things and help certain people to break that cycle, that generational cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, and to also businesses need to, we can work with businesses to do a work experience as long as funding is there to put people that maybe second chance, right? And say, look, we take on the liability while they're there. If you like, if they work out, hire them. And that's kind of the model we're trying to slowly get to. And that'll take another year or two to get to where exactly we need to be, I think.
Yeah, and I think the effort, you know, is there, the passion that you have. And, of course, you and I first met. We served together on the Highland Residential right. Services Board, and you rolled off because – you had to roll yeah. off as being elected to the city council and being vice mayor. Of course, we look for a look around on that because you're so valuable on the board. But in your position as vice mayor, you're still helping, you know, right. Highland Residential Services and the Housing Authority. But that's where you and I first met, and I knew then when I talked to you there and talked to you, and we're going to take a break, and I'm going to get back to it when we start this next segment. I knew then what your passion was. And your passion was, you know, more than just people, but it was helping people. So I want to get into that. I want to explain to everybody what I think your passion was, and probably still is, after we take this break. This is Local Matters, Mr. Luke Eldridge. He is the executive director for Title I Services under Career Teams, and he's also the vice mayor for the city of Cookeville. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers. Luke Eldridge is my guest today. He is the vice mayor for the city of Cookeville, but we've been talking about his career at Career Teams as executive director of Title I Services. I was talking, Luke, when we first met on the Housing Authority Board or at Highland Residential Services Board. I quickly learned what your passion was. And I had you on the show. First time I had you on the show, I remember we talked probably the whole time about people without homes, and some people refer to that as homelessness, but you taught me something, people without homes, and you then were at a different career, but this career you're in now, I know is impacting that. So tell me, how is your title and your position now impacting the problem we have in the Upper Cumberland with people without homes?
Yeah, so, and it still is a passion, because there are certain people out there that are legitimately unsheltered, homeless. You have those that are faking it. Mm-hmm. You drive around town, you see panhandlers. A lot of people want to give them money. I know what they do. Last weekend, there was four or five that were out about in Cookeville, and I could tell you their names. I could tell you who they are. I can tell you I've tried to help each and every one of those with housing and a job.
Right.
They don't want it.
Right.
They want to do certain things, and they don't have a record that would stop them from getting certain things.
Right.
They just have, you know, certain things going on. Now, I'm not denying there may not be some mental health there, and that's a big key. But, you know, with the job we have now is we actually have a homeless individual that's coming in, and we have found out that he's been living in a certain motel for 5 years. Now, technically, state of Tennessee or HUD or whoever would say, well, technically he's not homeless because he's paying for that. Well, that's not a way. And people will judge you, but if I say that's not a way you should live, they say, well, that's not the way you should live. Well, yeah, and that's true, but if I want what's best for people, and so if I see that, man, we can help you get an apartment, we can help you have something to where you're not, to live in a hotel, it's $1,500, $1,600.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this individual's coming in, and he's older enough that he could do that program I'm telling you about, 55 and older, and we're trying to see where would he fit, where would he land. He walks to our place off of Willow to us over to Jefferson, and he's hungry. He needs food. So Kristen McLeod, who's an executive director of another program, she's been helping him with food and stuff, and I said, and me and her talk about him, and go here, do this, and she knows the resources as well. But I said, why don't we see if he qualifies for this and see if we can help him out with a job? So that's what we're doing. We actually got an email about it yesterday. So trying to help this individual. But, you know, the homeless population, you know, I've a decade of work on that. And actually, we were just News Channel 2 just did a big, massive couple days discussion on homelessness, and it's across the state of Tennessee. And the new law, the Supreme Court just come down and changed, saying now the states have a little bit more right to sink some teeth into sleeping in the public portions, which I'm totally for. I don't think individuals should be sleeping on public land, especially in parks in certain areas. Number one, it's dangerous for them. Mm-hmm. But number two, it's dangerous for others, mm-hmm. Especially when we have a population, and not all of them, but you have mental health issues, you have drug issues. Again, not all of them, but a majority that don't, the majority that stay on the street, there is something going on, and it's either drugs or, because nobody, I don't think, would ever choose just to live on the street. Could be wrong. I think I've met two that have said, you know, this is the life. I've been doing this for 14 years and I enjoy it. I think I've met two. And a lot of it comes down to, they don't want rules and regulations. Right. That's why they don't stay at our rescue mission. That's why they don't stay in certain areas. I mean, that's why they get banned or kicked out of hotels, because of rules and regulations. So anyway, you know, when it comes to individuals that are unsheltered, you know, I do have a heart for them, and I want to help them all as much as we can. I think most people know, if they don't know, but I was for the whole the state law that went into effect about felonies. Now, I'm not for a felony, and no, I don't think anybody's ever got one. I don't think Sheriff Ferris has ever arrested somebody and they've ended up with a felony.
Right.
In our area, but it gave us a boundary to start with, and then it allowed us to start having conversation, and then it needs to morph into, and we need to wrap services around people. But the problem is, helping individuals takes time. It's dirty. It's long hours. And a lot of people don't want to do that. Well, they want to hand them a dollar and go on and feel good. They right. want to give them a piece of food and feel good. You know, that's great. If you want to hand them food, give them water. It's hot, right? Yeah. Summer. Those things are great. But it's going to take more to help this individual. I really wish that there was some way that we court order people to go to rehab. I wish there was a way we could court order people to take medication. And there's not in a certain way. I mean, you can hand them over to the state, but then the state doesn't, you know, they don't want to do that. But we got to find a way. And some people, you know, their families don't want nothing to do with them until I have found, working with the homeless, families don't want nothing to do with them until maybe they've been locked up. And then how dare the police department lock them up? How dare? Yeah. It's like, you don't want them at your house,
right.
But you don't want to help them.
Right.
Like I've had so many people that were homeless come to me, and I would ask them, well, do you not have family? Well, yeah, but they don't want me there. But then when I don't help them, I get the phone call from the family member.
Yeah.
Why are you not helping? Yeah. And I've had conversations before and said, well, why can't they stay with you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, it's the whole excuse. But anyway, but I think there's got to be something done. Housing is a horrible thing, you know, in the upper Cumberland. I think state of Tennessee, the average rent is $1,400.
Wow.
What do you do? You know, you don't want to put that on a renter you don't want to say, hey, you don't want to do anything when it comes to maybe city council, county, state says you've got to have a cap on your rent and do all that. That's not right. But we've got to look at a way, the state, you know, HUD or somebody's got to look at doing something. I really think, and, you know, we served on the board together. I really think in public housing, there should be a limit on how long you stay there.
Yeah.
It was not designed to be a live there the rest of your life. That's not what they designed it to be when they created it mm-hmm. way back when.
Yep.
I think you should have 5 years. Now, in elderly, I think they deserve it. People that are on true disability that, you know.
Sure.
I think that, yes, because they can't even, they're struggling even with that.
Right.
We've seen that. But I think Nashville did a study a few years ago. They found people making six figures living in their housing because we go to fair market value now.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, let's get you into an apartment paying the same, and let's use that as a funnel system.
Sure.
A cycle through.
Mm.
And give you the supportive services, but that's going to take a lot of money. But I think that would help, and that'll help break that cycle of families living in poverty. You know, there's a lot, but you'll never, as I said this when News Channel 2 was talking to me, you'll never cure homelessness.
Right.
You'll never do it. You can't throw enough money at it. But what we can do is try to offset as much as we can.
Sure.
The average homeless person used to cost a city or a county, however you want to look at it, cost almost $30,000.
Wow.
And that's because of the services, right? That's police calls, that's ambulance calls, that's hospital visits that don't get paid. You know, there's services. And that's how they kind of culminate that. Good news is I know Nashville's building some housing for them, and so hopefully people get the help they need. But a lot of people want to live where they live. And I don't fault them for that, but I've tried to, and people I've helped when we're trying to find them housing, they want to live in Cookeville, and I don't fault you at all, but you know, at some point a roof over your head's better than nothing. And if you got a, if we got an opening coming open in public housing in Clay County, we'll go live there and then ask for the transfer, and when place come, then come back.
Sure.
You know, that way you're at least out of the elements and at least change. But again, I think the state needs to look at putting limitations on some things, and I think that's a good part. I think the state hospitals need to be opened back up. What do you expect would happen when you shut them down and you let everybody go?
Yeah.
Where are they going to go?
Right.
They're either going to go to jail, they're not going to go take their medication, or they're going to end up on the streets, and they're going to go back, and that's not fair to them. So there's a culmination of things.
Well, and we mentioned reentry program, and just look at it this way. Somebody gets out of jail, they have nowhere to go, or they don't have the money in the account, like you said, these people do in Macon County, because they're working. They either end up back in jail or in the hospital.
Yep.
And so it's just this cycle, and it's one of those things where you and I as public servants do everything we can within our powers or with our abilities to help, but you are actually helping on the other side of it with your career, and I'm thankful for that, Luke. I just it's a process. It's the effort. You all have put in great effort with that, and I'm thankful. The one thing I'll mention before we go is that cycle. I remember talking to a sheriff out in West Tennessee who has a good reentry program, and I asked him, why did you start this? And he said, when I became a deputy 25 years ago, whatever, I did a drug arrest, and it was a father. We arrested the father, and he had like a five-year-old son in the trailer. So I had to take the kid to DCS. And just, you know, 5 years ago, this kid's now 20 or 25, whatever it is, I had to arrest him. So I arrested his father 25 years ago, and then I arrested the son, and he said it just made me sick to my stomach. So I had to do something. So partnering with counties or law enforcement agencies like you have or going to is huge in that process. Right quick, is the homeless population increasing here, or is it?
You know, I think you see a decrease. I really do. I think we're seeing a decrease. We're not seeing as many panhandlers on the street, but, you know, it is hot right now. But I think you've seen a decrease. We'll see how the fall goes. When you get into the holiday season, they pop up because everybody's a little bit more giving then.
Sure.
You know, the mission, I think they're doing a fantastic job at the way they're doing things now. So I don't see as many on the street like we used to a couple years back.
Right.
COVID didn't help much,
right.
But I think we're seeing a little bit of reprieve, or maybe people are finally, all right, it's time to get out. You know, there's a couple of them that I used to see, I don't see anymore.
Yep.
And I don't think they're in jail, because, I mean, I don't think they're there. I think they're moved on, or they've done what they need to do to get off the streets.
Well, maybe they have. Folks, I've had Mr. Luke Eldridge with me today. We didn't talk city business, but that's okay. What we talked about is very important. He is the vice mayor for the city of Cool, but the executive director of Title One Services. Thank you, Luke, for what you do. I appreciate you. Thanks for always being on and being a willing participant. Folks, hope you have a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Please make somebody's day. Be kind. If you see somebody in need, try to help as best you can, or call somebody that can. Appreciate you, Luke. We'll talk to you soon. Folks, we'll see you next week.